Okay, good evening everybody. We are now post-Purim, and I'm happy to hear that everyone had a good Purim, and we're now 30 days away, less than 30 days away from Pesach. And Amir Tzashem, as Rashi says, the months of Adar and Nisan are months of Gula, of Nisan. We should be zoicha to see tremendous Nisan in a Gula. As we speak, I don't say this lightly. To an extent, the future of Eretz Yisrael and our own future are being, decided and fought over, to say the least. What could happen in the next few weeks, or week, or two, or less, or more, in Iran affects not just the 7 million Jews in Israel. The regime that rules Iran are murderers, they're terrorists, they're evil. They've murdered Jews around the world, in Australia, in Argentina, in Bulgaria. And they would be only happy to murder Jews anywhere they can find them. The fight that's going on, it's not just the 7 million plus Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Their fate, to an extent, are being decided. And it's not just the physical war. There's a war of information. There's a war of public opinion. There's what happens next. That bozo who runs California, sorry guys, Gavin Newsom, his statement this week about what happened, it was literally a blood libel. Nothing less. Nothing less than a blood libel. Blaming Israel for no Khomeini, some bomb which Iran claims killed a school. Who knows who shot the bomb? It could have been their own missile. It could have been an American. Like that's what he focused on, of all things. Not a regime that killed 30,000 of its own people just a few weeks ago. So there's a lot that's going on. Certainly, we should all be davening, to say the least. We should be picking up our game, to say the least. But beyond that, beyond working on our davening and being cognizant that really a lot's being decided, we also have to know that the way we act, we're all part of Klal Yisrael, will affect something. I spoke to somebody very close with, he learned with me, the person is not yet fully Torah Mitzvahs, but a growth-oriented individual. And I said to them, we sell ourselves short. We imagine that if I daven in my shul or in my corner, like what's the big deal? Will it really affect the millions of Jews of Israel? Will it really affect the bombs, the missiles, the everything that's going on? Will it really shut down the anti-Semites on the far left and on the jihadis or on the fringe right like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens? Will it really shut them down? So like a person feels that they daven, they're not doing that much because what could I possibly do? And the answer is no, you're making a terrible mistake. You do not know what your tefillahs can do, right? And it could be that anyone on this call, anyone listening to this, their tefillahs make all the difference. It's not an exaggeration. And on top of that, we know that chesed brings bracha. So it's important what we're learning, and Mirtz Hashem, we should be able to apply it. Should be tzchus for us, for our kehillahs, for Klal Yisrael, during these times. It's serious times, nothing less. If I had to pick a time for this to be going on, I think it's no better time than now. We've seen already miracles, even the first day of the war on Shabbos. They killed an arch Russia, a Russia Marusha, Khomeini, a murderer, a Sayyidi Yisrael, a Haman of our time, was killed with his henchmen. They should all be killed. These are Hitlers, nothing less. Don't think they would do anything they could to kill. And had they had a nuclear weapon, they would use it. Look how they shoot missiles all around the whole Middle East right now, just indiscriminate. Qatar, Dubai, Saudi Arabia. They're nuts. So we should rejoice in their demise, but we should know that we have a saying, and Chesed brings bracha. So last week we discussed Purim, but the past couple of weeks, we are discussing the 17th Perek, we're talking about Tzedakah. And one of the things that we discussed 2 weeks ago, we discussed the four of eight reasons. Chavetz Chaim was very concerned, apparently, in his time. There was a movement for communities to have a centralized stucco organization, which could, by the way, have some benefits. But the problem was that they made a rule that these towns, these shtetlach, you could only go, aniyim, poor people could only go to the central organization, and we're not allowed to bother people in shuls, knock on doors, ask people on the streets. All of that was forbidden. And the Chafetz Chaim really was giving multiple reasons why that's absolutely terrible, detrimental. So we did 40, and I said last time that it's not as pertinent as Nogea it is today. I'm coming off Purim yesterday in Chicago. There were groups of yeshivas, Bachram, in all these houses. I mean, people, there are certain individuals, very wealthy, and I was giving nearly $80,000 to these groups over Purim. I'm like, kid you not. Just pouring. It's like, not a lot of people like that, but there were several people like that. But anyone was asking. It was all over the place. I mean, this is a very large community, Chicago, with, thousands of families. But, and my own kids were collecting for their pet causes. They were yeshivas, But they walked my little kids. Little kids were getting hung. My own little kids came out with several $100 each. They weren't going around at night. They weren't going around, And that's, Purim people are very open, but in general, it's a tremendous loss, the Chafetz Chaim says. So this has four reasons. That's number five, which is applicable to us, how we view tzedakah, how we look at the world. Number five is, if you have a central place and no poor person can ever knock on your door or come to you and shul or stop you, no dalets bifnei aniyim. Your house is closed to the poor. You're not open to business. One of my children, we had like open hours in my house. One of my daughters is even a teacher, so she had like, I don't know how many little students came here of hers, to bring shalach mas. So at a certain point, I had to go to a few places. So at 2:30, I left for about an hour and a half my house, two hours. So one of my sons thought it was funny, because a lot of people come for shalach mas, so he decided to put the door closed with a smile. I didn't know about it until somebody called my wife. Why is there a sign in your house closed with a smile? You're not taking shalach manas anymore? I was like, who in the world puts it closed? One of my sons decided to have a little fun and put closed with a smile that no one's going home right now. But that was Purim festivities. You can't, you close your house to aniyim. Since there are avos sevenasim, melamed sheya beisu shel adam. A Yiddish home, a Jewish home, is pasach l'ravacha, open. We have open homes. L'darim, u'l'mizrach, l'marav, l'tzafan, on all sides. K'desh l'lo yanim etzdarim l'hakas kol bayis. Right? It should be in theory. Or doors in all areas. It's someone, aniyim, poor people, needy people come to your house in all directions. Yikashdak, abom and adarim, so it comes to the south. There's that way. For the north, there's an entrance over there. V'chen kol ruach. Lachen, that's even Eov, a guy, a Job, had his house open or four sides. Of course, we learned that from Avraham Avinu. And, by the way, a chuppah, when Jewish people get married, it's supposed to be open all four sides. I was at a chasna not too long ago in New York. Very interesting chuppah. I was having a discussion with some Tami Lechomim, the nature of this chuppah, because the way it had four sides, but it was indented. Is that a good chuppah or not? Because the chuppah is open all four sides. And the reason is because the Yiddish Shehem, a Jewish home, is open on four sides. Now, again, today no one has four doors and four sides, but the point is the concept, the metaphor, is certainly applicable. Va'af de'ein b'yachalteh l'kaim z'el chavetz chavetz z'etem kimi de'gvolo l'fayon tzavet. It's not the way our houses are built. It's not really, we don't live in tents. Right, our properties don't go that way. But chas v'shalom, God forbid, lino l'adalas b'adonai. You should have no poor could ever knock on your door. Shlaniach leknos kihu avon pleili. Somebody a needy Jew. Now again, remember those days. There were many poor people. They could starve to death. There was no social welfare system. They didn't have any of their needs met. V'isim sechester eretz. Have a zahir v'dalsi be'secha. Now it says in Maseches Derecheres, be careful of the doors of your home. Shlo yenu'ulos, they shouldn't be fermach locked. B'shash atameisi be'chila v'shtiyo, when you're eating and drinking. Shadalsi be'secha mavin oschle de'anis. If your doors are locked, you Hashem could chas v'sham give you poverty. If you don't care enough about others, then you say, Hashem, give me parnasa, give me what I need. V'isa betanis, the Masech is tanis. Rav Huna kavi karach rifta. Rav Huna would break bread, not just at the seder, but he would have his matzah. You open, halach manya, right? You open the door of the seder, coming up. You know, 30 days from tonight, you'll be at the seder, everybody. Number two, right? Everyone's gonna be at the seder, okay? And you know, open your door to every poor person. It's not a joke. You're inviting everyone to come in. He didn't just do that the night of Pesach. Every meal. You check outside. Does anyone need a meal? I'm breaking bread. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan, this is more of a Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan sent the name of Rabbi Yosef in Kisma. G'doy le'gima. Achila. Shema'achilin le'orchem. That great is the gima, the food you give to Orchim, because for two mishpachas of Yisrael, Amon and Moav, because they, when the Jewish people were in the desert and they were passing by the boundary, because they did not do achas Orchim, the Jews, right? Their men were not allowed to, are not allowed to convert into Judaism. And of course, the ladies are, that's also Rus, but they were punished, the men, because you walk by and you see people hungry and thirsty, you just ignore them? Ignore them? By the way, there's famous pictures of 9/11, after 9/11, you know, when the people were crossing the Williamsburg Bridge, these Hasidim were offering people drinks. People were walking out of Manhattan, right? They had no food and drink. They were walking for miles because all public transportation just, you know, died. It literally died. The system, you know, this whole city shut down. People are walking for miles to get out of the end of Manhattan. You know, people are going, you're in your house, you're living in Brooklyn. You're the one that offered all Jew, Gentile, everyone drinks. Food. I just saw last week that an Israeli plane that was on the way to go to Israel when this war started was diverted, ended up in Detroit. Okay, this is Motzei Shabbos, and I saw a picture a few times of these Jews in Detroit went to the airport to meet the El Al flight there to offer people food and drinks and all, you know, everything. But they didn't know who the people were. They knew that the people would be there, were stranded now. They were planning to go to Israel. Whole beautiful thing. That's how it is. But Amon and Moav, who couldn't do that, who didn't do that, they don't deserve to join our people. The Jewish people needed food? It's an interesting thing. What do you mean they blamed Amon and Moav for not coming with food and drinks to the Jewish people? The Jewish people were in the desert. They had the Be'er, the Well of Miriam, they had the Shlov, they had the Mon, all of that they had. Ela derech eretzu, but it's derech eretz. And if somebody's coming on the road, you offer them food and drink. So ma para was a punishment they can't join those people. Rekal v'chemer, this is a ka'al kal v'chemer in a four tariff. This is true so much more. This is ma, the Jewish people did not need the chesed. We would have been okay without the amar mo bringing it, right? And look at the punishment for not bringing food and drink. But imagine right now there are poor people who really are going to be homeless. I remember San Jose had plenty of homeless people, by the way. I don't know if anyone would choose. I don't think I remember a Jewish homeless person there. Right? But plenty of, you know, these people see homeless? Oh my goodness. When I was building that Erev, I met them all. I knew which were the neighborhoods of homeless. Sometimes there's certain areas I wouldn't go by myself. I was like really scared behind the rivers. I was like really real river. I used to take some of the Israeli guys with me, or like Tomer, you know, Tomer Klein, those kind of guys to yank with me to go back there, because it was like You know, the whole colonies of homeless in California, Amish colonies upon the highways. Sometimes, you know, I go. If I had to go by myself, sometimes I'd take my, I'd be on my cell phone. I was never on my cell phone. I was like pretending. Oh, Shlomi! Yeah. One time with Ephraim, Lindenbaum, also like they start congregating around us. Now, if you know people who will be homeless without this, or not have medical care, or have heart attacks, anxiety, no one say, listen, you have to take care of yourself first, but the hell, you can't help a yid. You're sitting there eating your chicken dinner, and somebody can't afford to pay a doctor knocks on your door, you just ignore them, you only got through. Achas kam v'kam a person chashu get punished. V'im kem yaneinu sha'ani halach me'ili of a poor person, machatis is walking to get food, basho to get food. Achas kam v'kam if a person's door is locked, they can get punished chashu sham. V'amu chazal kol megalo kelev rabbi soch beso. The Talmud says if you have a dangerous dog, a pit bull, you know, one of those like German shepherds, and they're barking, no one wants to get next to your house. It's as if you stole chesed, because no one's going to come near your house. You know, killer, watch out, killer dog. You know, and then no one gets through. Those days, by the way, the dogs were not necessarily leashed or fenced in, that, you know, people were terrified to go to those houses. That is, behind because there's no way the poor are coming to that house or near that house. Certainly, if this case Chafetz Chaim says to banish poor people from the whole city, you're going to say, go outside the city as a place where you can get a check. But you can't go into the city, you can't collect. Now that's reason number five. You're basically closing the door to an Yid, the complete opposite of what it means to be a Yid. That's the way of Stoyim. That's Amon and Mayav. That's not Yiddish. A Yid, a Jew, is open in four sides ideally. Our chuppahs are emulate that, like Avram. Number six is gam nismayit ayidei mimenu chemlo. If a person is not accustomed to giving, they'll lose being a compassionate person. They won't be a person whose heart is open to compassion over time, right? Because the way a person cares is by giving, learning to give. But pachin ma'itzem ederos of a bai machlam, and not only that, you're gonna damage your children. Aren't gonna see the giving. Your future generations are gonna be impacted because they're not gonna see giving. My kids saw yesterday not the giving. It's unbelievable. People were walking to those houses, just money was pouring out. Some were, you know, I'm not, you know, if it were more simple, people giving $1. No, but they're seeing people give dollars. Some people giving $100 bills. But some people give $100 bills. But even dollars, you see people giving. And if they never give, no, you're not going to be compassionate. Your kids aren't going to even learn anything. In fact, the future generations. Shane and Roman, Klaalbein, Eman, Ashim, and Tzokim. Not even when I say give, they won't see people who need. They won't see what it means to be a needy person and have empathy for people. Gama, Yideza, Emakar, Laten, Toida, Akalko. Right? By the way, you won't even appreciate what you have. You don't appreciate, a person only sees with their little bubble in their echo chamber. If you, it's kedai to follow the news. I just told someone today to know what to daven for and to feel. I remember I once saw that Rav Schwab said that Rav Meisha Zatzal, Rav Meisha Feinstein, whose yahrzeit was today, not earlier today, 40th yahrzeit, which is during the Lebanon War, actually Jewish soldiers today in Lebanon, wanted to see some of the video or pictures, whatever it was, the television, you know, for a minute, just to feel these soldiers going in. By the way, when they went in 82 into Lebanon, it was a lot more dangerous than it is today, for many reasons. There were many soldiers that died. Right? And, you know, how do you not feel for that? If you don't see it, if you're living in America in 1940, 41, 42, 43, Not thinking about the Holocaust, not seeing it, but if you had to see pictures every day, if you saw the pictures, you'd be thinking about a lot more. You'd be diving more, doing more, okay? And imagine the other thing. Imagine if your health, right? You have a healthy, you have money, you have to take care of. You have a lot of bracha in your life. If you don't see people who don't have it, you're not even going to appreciate it. You know, part of giving that you feel fortunate. You feel your own blessing. You know, if you're in an area where everyone's wealthy, all you have is kinna. All you have is jealousy. You don't even feel what it means to have food and bread, a home, electricity. A person gains by seeing the bracha, by seeing people who don't have. Not only do they gain compassion, they gain appreciation for what they have. Number seven is yadua, masha amru chazam, the five slang mitzvarim, misparech, ba'achas sar brachas. When your poor person comes to you and you give him words of encouragement, kind words, you yourself get 11 blessings. And if you never see an ani, no one ever knocks on your door, you never can say a kind word to them. They just get a check from the central sanitation. Number eight, al kulam, is avera goras avera, once in cause of sin. Shayideza, now you have a rule. It's instituted in the shtat, in the town. No knocking on doors. What's going to happen is, it's like the illegals will come. They'll break the rule, okay? And now there's nothing like righteous indignation. Oh, you're going to speak Lashon Hara, and you're going to start, you know, reporting, I saw an Ani, he knocked on somebody's door. You'll have the city patrols watching out for poor people to make sure that they shouldn't do the serious crime of knocking on doors or walking into shuls. Again, I'm not a fan, by the way. Last week, an Ani came to me in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. I ignored him. I'm in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. It's totally wrong, right? If they come to Kriyas HaTorah, I give them. I actually understand shuls that don't let people in during davening, and I understand shuls that say up until Kriyas Shema, you're allowed to cook. In Amachai, it was up to Kriyas Shema, and that's what we did. And after that, you should during Kriyas Shema, you're not birchas ready for Mishtabach. You shouldn't. That's not a time until after Tachanun. But for sure, an Ani who can't come to a shul, but if you have a rule, what's going to happen is you have vigilantes. Oh, you're going to have people coming after them. They're knocking on doors. They came into the shuls. I saw an Ani in the street. It's going to become like a whole thing over here. I'm going to hate poor people because they're breaking the rules. For sure they're going to break the rules. By the way, imagine someone's really legitimately starving or going to lose their house or their wife is going to, or children are going to die because they don't have the money to pay medical bills and they don't have insurance. You don't think they're going to try to knock on doors even if there's a rule not to? Who will not? But now you're going to have people saying, oh, they broke the rules and they're going to come after them and they're going to hate these poor people because there's a rule in the city. V'achas kam v'kam, they're going to end up hitting them, cursing them, how dare you? Chutzpah, don't you know you're in city so-and-so, and in city so-and-so, we don't like this happen. We know that in the Torah, the Arba Arts, the Toiv HaShinagol, Mida Toiv HaKazug Imanim, Umi Alsa Vashem Shem Ansham, the punishment for this could be terrible. Gam Pam Rabbas Yesh Pam, and sometimes, you know, these poor people are a widow, lost her husband. You know who has that money? A widow. She has no money now. And she's a widow. Or orphans. Little kids going around. You know, I've read many of these 19th century history books. And you see some of these stories of orphans that literally would travel towns in Europe. They had no way to live. And these 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds were walking by themselves. Crazy. So this 11-year-old comes to your city, an orphan boy, girl, and you kick them out. You mitzayr, you paint an orphan. Chas v'shalom. Ha'ich no'ag yimam le'idaber le'melech. It's really, you should speak to them gently and kindly and compassionately. With kavod and with honor and understanding and compassion. And not to hurt them. V'lo li'ba le'dvaram kashim. You should care about them. And on the contrary, if a person gets upset at these orphans or widows, a maktinon makes them small, or angers them, or pains them, or oppresses them, or causes them to lose money, you're breaking the Torah, you're over loisase, kol shekhen. Certainly what's going to happen is, some of these people are going to get hit, or cursed. V'lav zeh, afa pishe in loikin alav, even though it's a law of a prohibition, you get malchus. Hare ansho meforesh b'Torah. The punishment is explicit in the Torah. V'chari api, If you, a person, chas v'shalom, afflicts a widow or an orphan, literally they get death. It's a liable for death. That's how serious it is if it's done for no reason. Bris kusli ma sh'amar oilam, shikoz man shem tzoyach mechamas hem nenem. Orphans and widows, their cries are heard. Shenemar, ki mitzalk yitzak elai. If they cry to me because of your actions, you can be punished. Gan ben yoyin, or ben yoyin says in Shari Tshuva, gets repentance. Imam rechavdal, mishe yatzik mitzal, aman v'yasam. A person who afflicts and pains a widow or an orphan, ben begezel, ben oishak, when they steal from them, when they take their money, they humiliate them, they inflict pain, is chai misa v'shamayim, is liable in shamayim for misa. V'ayin l'chinach, say the sefer, chinach, the great rishon, shkasek ha-mehetet, shafil adibar ba'alma, if you punish, if you hurt widows or orphans, you can be punished for them, just for the words itself. U'lepelali, says the chavsani, he's flabbergasted, al oisim ha-nashim, they make this rule, they're not scared. Like, you're going to make a rule that you cannot collect an interest. Obviously, people were applying it. And now you have these widows and orphans coming, because this is what happened in the 19th century all over the place. They're going around Poland or Ukraine, you know, and Russia, and they're get out of the city. You're not going to collect it. Go to the central place, you little kid. You widow. Are you crazy? It's a complete opposite of Yiddishkeit. The Torah says, even the wealthy people can't afflict or hurt. Kol shekin, certainly if poor people, broken people, who are forced to travel all around cities and places to live, to humiliate these kids or widows, gam gadol oynash hagoyim l'haysa tzaras v'asim, to add pain to their pain. They kick them out now. Make them like, you know, v'yispoynin ha'adam tam v'yir v'yivcha mezakas aniyim. In general, any poor person you should care about, not to afflict into pain. And you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is near people who are pained. Certainly a Yid, it's anybody by the way, but a Yid who is Karev HaShem, right? Hashem is Karev HaShem, we say everything Ashrei, three times a day. Karev HaShem, what's it? Kol Karev, actually, this actually. Karev HaShem, this really, Hashem is close to the broken heart. Visa Vivika Rabbah, right, when an ani comes knocking on your door, he's with Hashem. It says the Medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is al yimino. Ki yamel l'yimin evyon. Hashem is by the poor. V'nasat lo da, right? If you give, you help the poor, you help the needy. You should know that Hashem sees that. And if chashashalom, you don't, it's you're right in front of Hashem, so to speak. Harachti b'chozeh, says the Chafetz Chaim, I've elaborated upon all this. I spent a lot of time in this big footnote discussing this. You know why? To save people from sin. From this type of thing. Ani yodea, migdol Yisrael. I know great rabbis already have screamed at this. Right? Ve'ikr tzarek sheyikbo ad minafsho. And the bottom line is that we have to know if you give staka, you're not going to lose out. Because it goes back to that. People are taking my hard-earned money. I work hard. I work, you know, I wake up early. I go to sleep late. I deal with people I don't like at work. I give up my Torah. I give up my time. I pay my taxes, right? You're not going to lose by giving staka. And many times a person thinks to a mitzvah, the Yetzirah should be Seichayim, the Yetzirah, come to Yetzirah, comes to Yetzirah, and says, Ma lechalas this mitzvah, you lose out. What are you giving up for your hard earned possessions? Well, you're not going to have enough money in your pension. You're going to starve. You're not going to have enough. Ashaat and Eslechem, you're going to give enough, save it to give it to your children. They'll need the money, give it to the pension. Never know, you're 88 years old, you may run out of the money, Social Security may run out, and you needed the money over here. No, take the mitzvah, give the mitzvah. That's eternity. Now, Ken, by the way, very important, you do have to take care of yourself, but you gotta take care of your neshama. You gotta take care of the yin also. Right, because near mitzvah, ma'aner hazeh, kashu doylek, I feel elif alfanim from svak from the government. You light up the world. A person is a mitzvah. You light up yourself. You light up the world. That sentence for us. One more little footnote over here. I don't know with that. Well, get close to actually to what said. So he says, but the thing that brings down interestingly, that apparently there were old age homes that were opened to help the elderly people. Now, these people can't go collecting now. You're 80, whatever years old, at a certain age, they're not able to take care of themselves. So it's called Meshav Zakenim. And there was elderly people, weak people, and they go to these, you know, old age homes, nursing homes, before it was profit things. He says, for people who support that, for people who can't collect for themselves, that's a very nichbad kashu. That's an amazing thing. Yeah, that's even regular Hachas Orachim we discussed. We will discuss, later on, how great Hachas Orachim is. Certainly, if you have these kind of homes, you're involved in supporting people, you know, who have this, right? They shouldn't, you know, die from lack of medical care or lack of homes. That's a tremendous mitzvah. You won't see them, but they can't. You can't see them. These people aren't capable of collecting for themselves. About this, it says, "Kol makayim nefesh achas mi'Yisrael." If you give life to one person, you've created, you saved the world. And we discussed before, what could you or I do? You know, what's our davening or our chesed? Is it going to affect the missiles, the submarines sinking ships in by Sri Lanka? You know, the soldiers in you save one person, you save a world. Affect the world. The kolshkim is a common these type of homes supporting. They're creating many worlds. There's one last footnote over here, which is actually later on the parak. Next week, when it's about Meiser, it said at the end, because I remember we did the parak first, and I said we'll do the footnotes after. So a lot of footnotes. He said that with staka, you give staka, bracha comes to your house. Bracha, blessing comes to your house. And the Chofetz Chaim quoted pasuk, nasin titin lo, give to the poor. Lo yirah levavcha, don't be evil in your heart. Besit chalai, and he give to the poor person. And that merit, Hashem will give you blessing. Now the footnote says as follows: for nearly masha kase besit chalob, and he give it to them, the poor person. We know that at some level, a person doesn't want to give. It's just what it is. It's hard to give. You know, when you have something, you know, you view it as yours. It's hard to give. Certainly when you're asked to give. Now, if a person wants to give, right, everyone, certain charities, certain causes, they speak to the person. Certain people speak to the person. But let's say this cause doesn't speak to you, or this poor person, or this poor person's needy. They need it. It's hard to give to such people. Hard to give. Let's say even sometimes you're a poor person, the person's a nebuch. There's no people who are nebuchs. They're dysfunctional. They can't hold a job. There's mental health issues sometimes, and it's not one time. It's when I was a little, it's not a nice word. But shlamazel. People are shlamazel. There are people like that out there, and they come to you every day. Now there's some people who are just lazy. I'm not talking about that. Or crafty. These are rare cases, but that's a different story, and that should ask your local Orthodox rabbi what to do in those situations. But there are other people who legitimately come to many times because they can't do it. And they come often, and it gets hard to give often. You know, one time a guy comes often, it's like, why am I giving this person? I gave him to it yesterday, before. And again, we're talking about legitimate aniyim, poor people, shlamazels, nebuchs, we say. Right? If it's hard to give like that, people are not into it. After you give it already, you feel a bit, okay, I don't have the money anyways, now you feel a bit, you know. So then you say, okay, I gave it, I might as well be happy. You gotta give even 100 times. If this person is legitimate, a legitimate person comes to day after day, you don't have to give them twice the same day necessarily. But day after day, whether it's $1 or $10, you give them a time, whatever you give it. Some people can afford more, some people less. You give them, that's the mitzvah. And b'klah davar hazeh, because when you do give this needy person, we're the most needy. You and I, all of us, we are so needy. There's not a moment of our lives we're not so needy. There's one moment in our whole lives. There's not a moment of our lives, not a breath that we take that we're not so needy. But if we realize that and we give to this needy person, the money that gives, really, Hashem gives us. The bracha goes to such a person who gives. You pick to do what Hashem wants, not necessarily what you want. Then Hashem is going to give you a bracha, right? Because it could be we always have a yetzahara that doesn't want us to do this, but we go ahead and give as a vadi of the bracha. That's such a person Hashem gives bracha. Yivaracha Hashem Elokecha b'chomasecha. Ma she'en ken ba'asiyas v'tziyir libo lezeh. V'achav shavlav ha'chiyamos kwa inam biyado. He says a person gives it and then he's not happy. He thinks he's been robbed of his money. It's not Hashem's money. Person feels, ugh. Right? That person is not into it. Still got a mitzvah. But now it's at the azar bracha. The bracha comes when a person realizes how lucky they are. They're giving? No, they're getting. Hashem gave them this money to give. Hey, if somebody's legitimate, and they need it, and they give it to them, even though it's something that's hard, right? That's the source of bracha. And we give happy. What you're really recognizing is that we're needy, right? And we're doing what Hashem wants, right? And that's a totally different what Baldwin's doing. This whole parak. Even the stories about a city, what happened, historical fact, there were cities that blocked the aniyim from coming in there to teach us how to live as a yid. A yid looks to give. Okay, we give according to our ability. And next week we're talking about meiser, tithing 10%, right? Maybe 20% in certain circumstances. We don't give in general. There are certain even rules that break over 20% at times. That's abnormal in theory. Take care of ourselves first, but a yid lives to give. Our essence is giving, right? Our houses are open, our hearts are open, and then we're zoicha to Hashem's bracha. We should be zoicha. As I started today, we need a lot of Hashem's bracha. There's a lot being decided today at this moment for the world at large, of course, for America. When the Europeans recognize it or not for them, as well, obviously the Middle East, Middle East. But for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, it's a zman of bracha. We should be zeicha through our tefillos, through our chesed, through our Torah, to Hashem's bracha. Okay, wishing everyone good Shabbat.